Can we just talk? We can talk about a lot, and Joe Henry has a beautiful story, apparently, to kick it all off here in hour two.
I don't know if it's beautiful from what he told us, but...
Look, there's something called sarcasm for a reason. And when you're from New York, you have a lot of sarcasm, okay?
Yeah, you probably wouldn't get it. You know, Philly fans, all they do is just talk loud.
I haven't even talked about the Eagles yet. I'm already catching strays.
Well, we haven't talked since the Commanders beat the Eagles, so I got to get a few quick ones in.
Before we do, I'm Alex Carbonati with Eddie Kalegi. We have Arnav Sakar. We got Joe Henry. We have Alec Krauthammel. Jackson, I don't know your last name.
Oh, that's all right. It's DeLulo.
Jackson DeLulo. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. We're all here for the Tuesday crew, the mega crew.
Yeah, that's my
Alec
bit.
It's
my official bit now. Whenever there's a radio council meeting, it's always the WRSU mega crew.
But that this
I still gotta make a fun like transition about that. But that's time for another.
That is true.
It's another time.
This is hour two of the crew, the Tuesday edition on WRSU FM New Brunswick. Joe Henry. It's been a while since I've seen you, pal.
Yeah, Carm, it's been a while. Glad that you're off the kidney stones.
Oh, my goodness. Look, first off, tell us about your lovely car story, and then I'll talk about my lovely trip to RWJ.
All right, so let me start off. So I don't know if anybody is listening right now who heard my last story about how my car was – somebody tried to get into my car.
In Bayonne, New Jersey.
Yeah, Bayonne, yes. New Jersey, whatever. So yesterday, driving to school, Thanksgiving break, dunzo, so I'm driving to school, whatever.
Yeah.
On my way home, I have two issues with the car. So okay. I'm revving up the engine, right? But it's not catching.
Okay.
So it's like I'm pressing on it and I hear it rev, but the car's not. Like, I'm on the highway, so I'm cruising, but I'm not accelerating.
It's a Subaru, right?
Subaru. Okay. It's my grandparents used it like for all the 2010s.
Yeah.
I think it's like 2000. Yeah.
2010.
Right, I too am a Subaru owner.
Yeah, but the thing is, they used it exclusively to go like 30 miles an hour around Bayonne, New Jersey. Occasionally, we go to Jersey Gardens, make it up to 40.
Okay.
40 miles an
hour. Yeah, sure.
But now I'm taking over. I'm driving this puppy 80 back and forth every
What's
day.
What's wrong with you?
I gotta get home, Carm. Dinner's 80? On the table. All right. Anyway.
80.
Anyway.
Is he gonna go 30 on a highway?
No, how about 50 or 60?
All right, but here's the thing. Here's what happens. So it's not catching, right? But it happens twice momentarily.
You freaking Clint Eastwood all of a sudden? Give me a break.
So it's like that, okay? You chose the one character that doesn't drive a car. Actually, he does in his future movies. But I know you're talking about
Gran Torino, hello?
Carm, you're speaking language I don't even understand right now.
2008, pal. Check it out.
But anyway, here's what happened. So it's not catching, right? So I get back home. I go out for a little bit. Then I'm driving home. On my way home, it's like 10 o'clock at night. I'm driving. Mm-hmm. The car shuts off momentarily. Like, all the lights go off in the car, and they come back on. Now, I'm getting close to home, and I'm like, oh, boy. I got to tell my dad about this one. So then, I'm about to turn down my block. It's so dark, nobody else on the road, so there's no issues. Thank God, man. Like, if this happened to me on the highway, I could have died.
Oh, my.
So the entire car goes pitch black. Pitch black. No lights are on. Nothing's moving. So I'm about to turn down my block. There's cars on both sides parked, so I got to start power steering it. So I am pulling it with all my force, just trying not to hit a car. I'm going like 15, right? Then it starts to slow down as I eke towards my house. I'm stuck in the middle of the road. I put my hazards on. I smell it start to smoke. I'm like, geez, all right. So I'm like, all right. So I call my dad. I'm like, hey, can you come outside? I push it right in front of my house. It wasn't that hard to push. I tell everybody I pushed the car, and they're like, oh, my gosh, you pushed the car. I'm like, it's on wheels. It's
okay,
fine, right?
Okay.
So I push it in front of my house. My dad comes out. I see it smoking, and I'm like, wow, this is not the best situation. This is my mobile. This is the Joe-mobile, right? So he pops up the engine. There is literally a fire inside my car, like by the engine. I'm like, what's going on? I think the battery's on fire. So my dad, my brother, my mom, we all come out. We're pouring water on it.
Oh, my goodness.
We put out the fire. My dad's looking at it. The battery is completely melted.
Wow.
Completely melted. We have no idea what to do. We're talking, do we push into the driveway? Whatever. My dad gets in. Somehow it turns on. I do not know how it turned on. He pulls it into the driveway. I'm like, all right, whatever. So I call. I text my grandma. I'm like, hey, can I drive your car to school tomorrow? Because we have another car. I hit a BMW with it one time. I hate it now. I will never drive
that
car.
What car is that?
It's like a big truck. Like a big truck. I hate it, Carm. I will never drive that
pickup truck with like a flatbed?
It's not a pickup truck. It's like It's like a winter truck.
Mm.
Like, it's just big wheels,
was
whatever.
It Ford, Chevy, which one?
Oh, what man. Is it? What That's is a it? Question for Mr. Henry.
Is his father Henry or Grandpa Henry? Which
no,
one?
My dad.
Oh, okay. Father Henry, okay.
Dave
Henry.
Dave to you, Carm.
Dave it is, okay.
Anyway.
Already on a first name basis.
Well, what do I know?
So anyway, he gets in the driveway. I'm like, what do? We're looking at it. The battery's melted. I'm like, whatever. I go to sleep. My first class isn't until 2, so I'm like, I'll figure out when I wake up.
Yeah.
I wake up. My dad's telling me the car's in the shop, and it's going to be fixed in time for me to go to school. I'm like, what did you do to this thing? Apparently, he changed the battery himself before I even woke up, sent it to the shop, but it was an absolute crazy night. I was driving home. If that had happened to me on the highway, I didn't have enough water to put it out because it took a few bottles.
Oh, my goodness. Bottles?
Yeah, it took bottles of water. I could, the thing could have exploded like in GTA. Like, you just have the wheels pop off or something. I got crazy lucky. And, man, it was a crazy night. But I drove it to school today. I got a new battery.
Oh,
and it drove
know?
Pretty smooth. So, yeah, that's my story.
Just hopefully they don't go on fire when you leave us.
Hopefully, yeah. I'll let you guys know in the group
oh
chat.
Oh, my goodness.
We need to stop these weekly car incidents for you. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen next.
Make sure you text us when you get home. you're safe.
The Super is a menace to society right now.
I text
agree
the entire
that.
RSU group chat.
That's
to,
why
I'm
you,
home.
That's why you buy a Honda, pal.
I actually have a Honda.
Hondas are good.
It's a 2004 Honda. And I can't drive it out of town or else it'll die.
No.
I've got a lovely 2002 Toyota Camry.
I've nice. Been in that car. It's a nice car.
Yeah,
it is
a
nice car.
For a 20-year-old car, it's pretty solid. Yeah. I had one incident where the starter broke. Like, I parked in the parking lot at, like, my library. So, okay, now I got to tell
at
a quick
library.
Story. Okay, long story from last winter break. Basically, when I was in high school, I was in, like, some, like, teen club at the library or whatever, you know. Get some service hours for National Honor Society and stuff. And then I'm there. And
what are you, a freaking Boy Scout?
I'm not
a Boy Scout. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, no, nothing at all. I'm just
saying. Not a Boy Scout though. Okay. So, basically, they gave out like nice gifts for us for high school graduation, but none of us went and picked it up during the summer. So it was winter break, and we decided, you know what? Let's all show up and just pick up our gifts.
Oh wow!
It was like mugs and stuff. So we drive over there in my car. Then we go in, and it's like really awkward because they haven't seen us in months. And then we come back out to our car, to my car. And it just won't turn on.
Oh, wow.
So then I had to go back in there after it was really awkward when I went in there at first and tell them, hey, I have to leave my car here because it, like, won't start. And then me and my dad had to come back, and then my dad went in the morning, and then they, like, ended up, like, towing it away, and it turned out, like, the starter just straight up broke in the car. It was, like, literally the worst possible place for it to break.
In a library.
Yeah, right out to the library. And it's a tiny parking lot. There's only, like, 4 spots because we're a tiny
town.
You
ruined somebody's day.
I know.
With your old car.
Metuchen is a class act town.
It is. But, yeah, that was unfortunate. But my car's pretty good. Anyway, Alex, I know you have a story as well.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's not make it too graphic now.
Well, Carm didn't text me back, so I knew something was wrong.
Joey boy, I was in a hospital, okay?
not an excuse.
Oh, really?
Nah, I'm just
really?
I'm
oh, my
you.
God.
Do me a favor. You get kidney stones and have them surgically removed, and then you tell me how it feels, okay, pal?
Carm, you should have saved them, and then we could put them on display.
They didn't let me see the bloody thing. They just hacked it up or whatever when I was knocked out.
I thought they were just like stones, though. They're bloody?
Oh, well, he was using the British adjective.
Anyways.
Like a chap.
Oh, okay.
Or a bloke.
Give me a break over there. But put you with your tea and crumpets. Be quiet over there. Anyway, the point is this. Thursday, the 17th, I'm supposed to go to Philadelphia, one of my favorite cities, with Gideon Fox, the boss. We're supposed to cover Rutgers men's soccer in the national tournament. It's Thursday morning. There's a sharp pain in my right side. At the same time, I'm yakking. I got diarrhea. My backside is killing me. You would have thought I was in the trenches. Oh, my goodness, it was brutal.
You were using that community bathroom?
No, it was in my dorm. My lovely Rutgers toilet. Anyway, the point is this. I call Mr. Fox. Hey, Giddy, how are you? What's going on? Giddy, I can't go to Philadelphia. I'm yakking over here. I feel awful. There's pain in my back. Not going to happen. All right, calm. Okay, fair enough. Okay, get better, pal. Okay, fair enough. He says that, right? That's Thursday. Alec took my spot. I'm sure he had a phenomenal time in Philadelphia.
It was freezing. It was a beautiful park, but I gotta say, you know, our setup, they had a folding table where we set up the Comrex.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it was very cold. And
oh, really?
Tough game, too.
Experience that East Lansing cold. I bet that was the next level from that
yeah.
still.
yeah, so Giddy and I left for Philadelphia at like 3:30. He asked me if I wanted to do this call at 2 p.m. So this was like very last minute.
Well, because I was yakking and getting stabbed in the back. That's why.
Yeah.
He's clutch.
I'm glad you're
a clutch
though.
Hamill.
Yes, exactly.
Ooh, that's a good
I like
name.
That. Anyway, fast forward 24 hours later. It's still brutal. Awful. Painful. I check in to lovely Robert Wood Johnson. Right? Robert Wood Johnson, 3 o'clock. They take me in at 3:45. Kid you not. It's killing me. Someone's stabbing me in the back. It's awful. They put me on the IV, the fluids. They get fluids in me, whatever. They have a CAT scan, an ultrasound, all that stuff. They find out it's a kidney stone. And it's too big to pass. So I have to stay in the hospital overnight. And the next morning, by the way, sleeping in a hospital is not fun. Because they woke me up 2 times during the middle of the night just to take my blood. And I was fine. Oh, it was awful. And then when I finally woke up... When I finally woke up, the nurse called me Sleeping Beauty. Unbelievable.
Karin, was she secretly in love with you?
No, you sicko.
How old was she?
I don't know.
Like late 50s?
I don't know. Oh anyway, the point is that, well, first off, I had like 3 different nurses taking care of me, number one.
Maybe it was just the kidney stones messing with your brain.
Take it easy. Okay, so it's Saturday morning. They take me out, they wheel me out, all that stuff. They put me in the operating room. It's a kidney stone. They got to take it out, whatever, right? Okay, here's the deal. They have the operation. They take it out. It's gone. They don't even let me see the bloody thing. They just smash it up, hack it up, whatever. I don't know. I don't care. Usually you would get it so they can take an examination to see what causes it, what's in there, all that stuff. There are 2 reasons. Dehydration. I need more water. And number 2, Rutgers put so much sodium in the food at Cafe West. That's what it is. The sodium. I have too much sodium. Honestly, my diet's awful. It's brutal. I'm a little chunky for a reason, but the point is this.
Too many Cuban sandwiches.
Well, I just had too much at Cafe West.
Maybe it's good that Wendy's is gone.
I don't know.
All right, now you're taking it too far there, Eddie.
Then he can't hydrate himself with a Wendy's DC.
That is true. But if it's not from Bayonne, then why does it even matter?
A Wendy's DC. Eddie. Oh, my goodness. Well,
might put you over the edge, Carm.
It might have.
That might set you back.
Yeah, it might. I haven't touched soda in like 2 weeks.
Soda or
no.
Sodium?
Both. Soda.
What? Isn't sodium in everything?
It is in everything.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how can you eat anything?
You're
strictly on the grape diet?
What about that? I've been very cautious with what I'm eating the past few weeks or what have you. But the point is this.
You sound like my grandma.
Shh. You know what? Just because of that, I'm going to get Lieutenant Theo Kojak on you, pal.
You don't want to be compared to my grandma?
And the next time there's a fire in your car, don't call me, don't call Kojak, don't call the fire department,
Carl,
okay?
I texted you about it, but you never responded to me.
You didn't tell me about your fire. You texted me when I was in the hospital with a kidney stone.
I mean, to be fair, if he's calling a fictional character, if he has a car fire, he's probably in a lot of trouble already. He's going to be there.
Kojak is real in our hearts, all right?
Don't mess with Kojak.
I'm not.
New York City needs Kojak.
I'm going to him for my fire.
Well, I'll tell you this much. If Theo Kojak was in New York City today, the problems in New York City would be wiped out just like that.
Anyway, I want to hear the end of this story.
Okay, so here's the deal. By the way, I watched Kojak in the hospital. It's pretty good. I did. I also watched Kojak during my recovery. It's pretty good, too.
He helped
really
you get through
it.
He helped you get the strength back.
In a way.
He was with you the entire way.
In a way. It was a pretty darkened episode. The point is this. So... They take out the stone, whatever. They put a stent in my groin. Did you not? It was brutal. I won't go into that. But the point is that happened. Tuesday they took it out. Okay. So for 5 days, I missed a beautiful time in Philadelphia. I don't care how cold it was. Philadelphia is Philadelphia. It's beautiful. And I missed the lovely Penn State game on November 19th.
I'm not sure I called that game for you. I'm not sure how much you missed.
Yeah.
Did you really call that game for me, too?
I did, yeah.
He basically filled in for you for everything.
Alex, the new Carm.
I became Carm for a weekend.
And it was the best weekend of your life.
You became me, and the real me was stuck in RWJ.
With
so
Kojak.
Please. Not necessarily, but
yeah,
in a way.
That game was my first play-by-play, and I got to call one highlight, which was the 60-yard slant pass to Sean Ryan in the first play of the third quarter. And then 3 plays later, Gavin Wimsett fumbled, and it was returned for a touchdown.
Well, I'm not surprised. That's Gavin Wimsett. Anyway, the point is this. The point is that that was my lovely 5-day trip with kidney stones. And this is the second time I've had a kidney stone. Yep. Yep.
Karma, yep. I feel like that's kind of on you.
It is.
Like, what do you eat on a day-to-day basis?
Crap.
How old are you?
20.
Carm, you're 20 years old. You've had 2 kidney stones.
Here's the deal.
You're averaging one every decade.
Oh, my God.
First off, 2 within the last year and a half.
What?
Both.
Carm!
Both at Rutgers.
Carm!
You know what? Me, you, we'll take Joe, too. Let's go to Warblin. January 2nd, New Year's resolution.
Hey, I work at
What's
Warblin. I may be there.
The gym.
It's the gym.
I go to Planet Fitness.
Who cares?
Go to the Rutgers gym. It's
go
free.
Go to Warblin. You know what?
I'm going to go
it's
to the
free.
Rutgers gym.
Alec Crowdhamel works there.
Lifeguard. You guys should start swimming, and I'll watch you.
How about
never
this?
Mind. Scratch that. Scratch that.
First off, for just saying that, we'll put you in a home, okay? Number one. Number two, I would that might help me out with swimming. That might help me out.
Swimming is very fun and healthy activity.
All right. Okay, pal. Take it easy, all right? When I'm there, you better be off. That's all I'll say. You better have your day off when I'm swimming over there.
You wouldn't trust me with your life in the water?
if you're talking like that, no way.
Alex, he covered you like 3 times in 5 days, and that's what he gets?
I'll buy him dinner. How about that?
Okay.
I'll take it.
See? I'll buy him dinner. And again, I appreciate that. The guy came in just like that. He helped out Captain Fox. He helped out Dylan McCoy with that horrible football game. You know. There you go. What can I tell you? And while he was somewhat enjoying all of that, I was suffering in the hospital.
And then while both of you were doing that, I had to hold down Alex's place in the riot squad towards the front.
It's true.
And it was very sad because at halftime, my friend who goes to Penn State was able to make it down to the first row right behind the goalpost and then was just yelling the whole time about how bad Rutgers was.
And he survived?
Yes, because all the Rutgers fans left at halftime.
That's fair. Yeah.
Was he wearing Penn State gear?
Yes, he was wearing a Saquon jersey.
Oh, that's not good.
Wow. Wow.
You know what? You know what? If you want to spin it like that, that could be a Rutgers jersey since he committed to Rutgers.
It was me, a Penn State fan, and a Michigan fan right behind the goalpost.
Wow. What's a Michigan fan doing that?
How did they let you bet? How did they let you stand there with those people?
I don't know. They just they made their way right down, and everybody left.
Who's going to stop them at that point?
That's true. Me. Well, I was
you? No, you.
Leave the press box.
No.
We're taking a break, and then
yeah,
you just
yeah,
come
yeah, exactly. During halftime.
No, you were covering me,
exactly.
And I was stuck And I was stuck on a hospital bed. That's what happened.
I'm glad I was the one who profited off of your suffering.
Wait. So Alec covered for Carm. Uh-huh. Eddie covered for Alec. Is this a bad time to tell you guys that I actually did motorsports today last week?
Uh-oh.
Because Eddie was so booked up covering for Alec, who was covering for Carm.
Oh, really?
And then Arnav covered for Joe.
Arnav was in Bayonne watching Jenna Wendy's DC with my friends.
And then Jackson was in the marching band for
actually,
Arnav.
Jackson is from Bayonne.
Are you from Bayonne?
Jackson. Yeah. Jackson and I went to the same high school.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
No. That's hilarious.
Born and raised.
And you guys are both freshmen?
No, I'm a junior.
Interesting.
So then in that case, okay, Alec covered Carm, I covered Alec,
what is this,
Joe covered me, Jackson covered Joe, and then Arnav covered Jackson watching the Cowboy game.
What is this, freaking tag?
I'm so sorry.
And it all started with my suffering with a kidney stone. Lovely. Anyway, the point is, that was my lovely experience at Robert Wood Johnson Hospital, okay? Do me a favor, Joe, you especially, don't get dehydrated, don't eat at Cafe West. And number 3, don't get a kidney stone.
Carm, I'll tell you this. I drank an unbelievable amount of water. Because 2 years ago, one summer, I lost 100 pounds in one summer.
How?
I only ate grapes. It was deeply unhealthy. I almost passed out multiple times.
So wait.
I'm going to be honest
with you, pal. The grape diet was a real thing?
No, the grape diet is a real thing. Guys, don't ask my parents about it. They will get mad just talking about it.
I'm going to be honest with you. I can lose 100 pounds.
No, Carm, you don't have 100 pounds to lose.
Are you me?
What do you mean, you?
Me?
I was 310.
I'm a big dude, pal.
Carm, what are you talking about?
I'm like 190.
Carm, you'll be 90 pounds.
All right, so I'll lose, I don't know, I can lose 50. That wouldn't hurt me.
Instead of eating grapes for a summer, he'll just eat grapes for like 3 weeks.
Well,
no, but anyway, wait, how was I even talking about losing weight?
That's
what
a really good question.
I've
I'm
drinking water because you
drink
water and
yeah,
ate grapes.
So I would only drink water because that was my only snack. So I drink an insane amount of water now. Like right now, my throat is killing me because I don't have any water on me.
You're kidding me.
I promise.
Get this man some water.
That's what I mean. And my I drop my Contigo bottle constantly. So
the who?
It's a brand of water bottle.
Never heard of it.
But I drop it so much that it's just cracked open. It just falls out of my bag. So I'm going all plastic right now. I'm sorry, PETA.
PETA? Who's PETA?
Yeah, I don't know. There's some environmental place.
Oh,
that's cool. That's not what PETA is.
They're the animal one.
Oh,
the animal rights group has nothing to do with that.
PETA.
Yeah,
that's the animal. I thought it said Peter. Who's Peter?
PETA.
Like PETA Griffin? What are you talking about?
Hey, Lois.
Lois! PETA! Come on, give me a break. Look, anyway. Don't get kidney stones. And make sure your family doesn't have a history of it. Because my mother's had kidney stones. My grandmother's had kidney stones. We've all had kidney stones, probably in my family.
I feel bad for Carm Jr.
God forbid. God forbid my child gets kidney stones.
On that note, let's take a break. Let's come back.
What a segue.
I know. Let's talk some NFL, because there was a game between a team from Philadelphia and a team from Green Bay that must be discussed, along with all the other news in the NFL, Giants, Cowboys, everything else. Okay, then. We're going to take a break. We're listening to the WRC crew on WRC FM New Brunswick.
Tuesday crew back at it again here on WRSU FM New Brunswick. We're going to talk about some NFL stuff right now. There are plenty of games to be had over the weekend, and I'm sure everyone would like to talk about them.
Yeah, so. You know what? I'm going to get it over with because the Commanders fan is here. He was not here 2 weeks ago. This happened a couple weeks ago. So before we get to what happened this week, I'm in a decent mood about the Eagles right now, so I'll take it. I'll take any sort of criticism you give to this team because you guys won. Credit to you guys. Credit to the Commanders. Taylor Heinicke is pretty good. Taylor Heinicke is an undervalued quarterback, and right now you guys have a playoff spot. I don't care. I don't want to see you shaking your head that Sam Howell isn't the quarterback. I saw your new Twitter profile picture. You're literally wearing a Taylor Heinicke t-shirt. So.
Yeah. I'm also wearing a cowboy hat, so it's a pretty swagger fit. But anyway, so this is just what I want to say. I am a Washington Commanders fan. We've been on a crazy good run lately.
What's wrong with you?
I just started for a second. I get too excited about the Commanders. But okay. Monday Night Football, we beat the Eagles. It was an absolutely awesome game. That next day, I was trying to come on for a crew. I talked to Captain Fox. He said there were no spots. It was a sad one. You know, I would have loved to come on, talk to Eddie about it. But I did send Karm a text that day asking him if he could say some things for me on the crew. And I could say a lot of things about the game, but I'm just going to read it because it really does just capture my feelings.
Again, pal, hospital trip, awful
No,
week.
I'm not blaming you. I just I want it to be read now, if that's okay. Hey, Carm, it's Joe Henry. I sadly cannot be on crew tonight because there's already a shadow. I assume you guys will talk about the Commanders game, so if possible, I would like you to share the following message with the guys as my official statement on the win. It's just nice to win one.
What are you, a politician? Official statement?
Listen. This is my statement. It's just nice to win one. Go Commanders. Joe Henry. Congrats to the Packers as well. Love to see it. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is...
That was
all
a nice...
Of that?
That's right,
really
Jackson. That was
no
a great
reason.
Win, pal.
Shut up, Dak lover.
That's
but
right.
Anyway.
That was a great comeback. Christian Watson with a hat trick. That's right.
Here's the thing.
That's what Dallas deserves.
I think one thing people are getting caught up on is everybody thinks Taylor Heinicke is the best quarterback in the world. He's awful. We could have any other quarterback playing and we'd still be winning these games because we win because the defense and the running game steps up. So Taylor Heinicke is not that good. He's great on primetime. He fools everybody except for the casual fans. It's like Carson Wentz last year. He fools everybody because he's good on primetime. But all I'm trying to say is, Washington is 7-5, two games over 500 for the first time since 2018. I'm just really happy that they're winning football games. I don't care who's it against. I'm just happy about it. So I'm not going to bash you, Eddie. I'm just happy they're winning.
Yeah, and my whole thing is that the Washington defense played well in that game, and the Eagles made stupid mistakes. First of all, that first fumble by Dallas Goedert that got him hurt should have been a face mask. But
definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
any other officiating calls that Eagles fans are freaking out about, that's the only one that was really bad. Brandon Graham falling on Taylor Heinicke 3 seconds after. That's not a bad officiating call. That's, I don't know what Brandon Graham was doing.
It was roughing the passer. It's a bad rule, yeah, but it was roughing the passer.
And then we all know what happened on that Quez Watkins play, the 60-yard completion. Yeah. And that's where I got to start with the Eagle-Packer game. Because before I start ripping you apart, Alex, I got to talk about what went wrong for the Eagles. Because I got really excited in the first 6 minutes of the game. It was already 13-0. Then Jake Elliott missed an extra point, and then everything went crazy
and
for
I was about to blow my
a
head
half
off.
Hour. Because A.J. Brown has the ball, and what happens? Third week in a row, an Eagles receiver fumbles a catch from Jalen Hurts and turns over the ball.
Beautiful.
Jalen Hurts has thrown 4 interceptions this year, and then Eagles receivers have 4 fumbles this year, and they've all come in the last 3 weeks. I mean, that's not good. That's not good. The defense was not great in this game, but I also said a while back that I was concerned about the Packer game more than some of the other ones late in the season, just because I knew that Aaron Rodgers was probably going to play well in a primetime situation against the Eagles, and he did in the first half, but then things didn't go so well in the third quarter. Then Aaron got hurt. Jordan Love came in, actually looked pretty good, but Eagles fly. The Eagles are 10-1.
Look, here's the deal.
Yeah.
The first 6 minutes, I was about to jump out a window, okay? Because I expected this game to be an absolute dramatic, horrific situation where it'd be a murder in Philadelphia.
As Jess Buckley said, you'd be viewing it as an awful game.
Oh, you know what? Anyway, the point is, and Jess Buckley, next time you come on, I would love to speak with you about this lovely game. Number one, that's that. Number two is this. First 6 minutes were brutal. Especially when, the picks he threw, Rodgers. Aaron, those were awful.
The one, first of all, the Eagles completely screwed up getting that sack, and then Rodgers just throws it up in the air, becomes a tip drill.
It's ridiculous. the play calling for this offense makes zero sense. It is absolutely ridiculous every single week, especially in the first two quarters. The play calling is brutal. I've said this for years now. Matt LaFleur should have lost his job a long time ago. I would have fired him after that loss to the Buccaneers in that NFC Championship game.
I
would have fired him on the spot right there. But they keep the clown for 2 more years. The guy is a joke. This water bottle can call better.
Wasn't that like a historically bad Aaron Rodgers playoff game?
He always has those.
I thought he threw like 3 picks that game.
Brady had two.
I'm cutting out. In shame.
That's all right. 3 fourth quarter interceptions.
Yeah,
but no,
gross.
I completely agree with you, Carm. I was listening to Colin Coward the other day, and he was telling, and I don't really agree with Colin about a whole lot of things.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he can be crazy.
He is.
But I do think he's a great sports commentator.
I agree with that.
He said, he was like, every time I watch the Matt LaFleur Packers, they get less physical, and they seem to care less. Like, they had back-to-back-to-back 3-13 seasons. But what – it's like what I always say. What do they do well?
Nothing.
They can't throw the deep ball
anymore.
Nothing. I mean, Christian Watson's developing, but
– nothing.
They just don't have any physicality to them. When they played – the 49ers would beat them 100 out of 100 times because the 49ers play smash-mouth, proper football.
Yep. And his play calling cost every single game.
Yeah.
His play calling is so stupid. It's ridiculous.
He's too worried about his eyebrows.
And not just that, his lovely run of special teams, the way he runs his special teams department, is an absolute disaster. I know clowns who can run it better. Are you kidding me? The Big Apple Circus does a better job punting balls than freaking Matt LaFleur and his special teams unit.
And
it's
Aaron Rodgers
ridiculous.
Is a little washed, too.
Look, Aaron Rodgers.
He's better than Jalen Hurts, who's about to get $50 million a year, apparently.
Is it really?
Did you see that rumor?
I saw that rumor. I don't know about paying him that much.
Here's
right
the deal
away.
With Aaron Rodgers, though.
It's a bad guy.
Aaron Rodgers played an okay game. He had 2 very nice touchdown passes to Randall Cobb and Aaron Jones to keep it very competitive in the first 30 minutes. He played very good in that moment, but he was very dicey throughout the entire contest. And the 2 interceptions he threw were 2 of the worst interceptions I've ever seen Aaron Rodgers throw in my entire life. It was very, very bad. Then he gets hurt. He gets sacked. He has a rib injury, which is the same story again. When he gets hurt, it's an absolute debacle. Everything crumbles down to pieces. But Jordan Love, and Jordan Love has been awful in a lot of the games he's played. But I will give him the credit. He played very well in that little scram that we saw. And I think he went 7 of 9 through over 100 yards.
You know, Skip Bayless, Skip Bayless compared him to Michael Jordan after the first drive. He called him Michael Jordan Love on Twitter.
Give me a break.
He does the tongue thing out. It's magical.
And I love Skip Bayless. But here's this. I do. I do love Skip Bayless. I think he's great. I think he's wrong on the Cowboys, but I think he's right on Brady.
I think that's the one thing he's right about. He's
no way. He's wrong on Dallas, but he's right on Brady, and he's right on Jordan. He's 1,000% right on LeBron, because he's not the GOAT. LeBron's a clown. Oof. Anyway, the point is this.
Philly fans. Jeez.
He's not even a Philly
fan.
He's
a Packers fan.
He likes the Packers, he likes the Cardinals, he likes the Sixers. I'm not a Philly fan
Sixers?
Either.
That was pure lucky guess.
Yeah.
Must have been rough. Sorry, it must have been rough having to sit through that for, what was it, 15 years? A decade? How many? 10 years in a row? Finals?
What are you, a Knicks fan?
No, please. I'm way too ashamed to go out on a limb and defend the Nets for anything. They're poverty franchise.
What team is yours for basketball?
It's Nets.
Me too.
You're going to slam me.
I have the D'Lo jersey. Don't worry.
Okay, fine.
I have a Caris LeVert jersey.
Okay, hold on. You're going to slam me over.
I have a James Harden jersey.
Hold on a minute here. You're going to slam me over.
I have a Blake Griffin jersey.
Okay. You're going to slam me over 15 years of bad Sixers basketball when the Brooklyn Nets look like a freaking debacle right now.
No. I'm saying 15 years of LeBron GOAT basketball. In the East.
I see what you're saying.
I'm saying not a single other team made it out of the East all those years.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I'm taking this way off topic.
I know, but keep it in mind, LeBron's 4-6 for a reason. And he's
team sport.
No.
Michael Jordan didn't do nothing until Pippen.
You're going to learn, Jackson, do not bring up LeBron James when he's here.
When you make, what was it, 8 or 9 straight finals and you lose the majority of them, you're a clown.
Against the best offensive team in the history of the NBA.
Really?
Had more wins than Michael Jordan's best Bulls team.
When you blow it to Dallas, when you blow one of them to San Antonio.
That Dallas one was bad.
And in 2015, they should have won that series, but they blew it. Okay?
LeBron, come
in 2018.
Playing, we're talking
on,
about the
hold
Spurs.
Hold
he's
on,
playing
hold
four
on,
Hall of
hold
Famers.
Hold on. No.
Hall of Fame head coach.
He didn't win until he went with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade.
And Wade.
That one against
Kyrie still,
was magical.
And
then
he's still
the next one with the COVID year.
How are you going to tell me LeBron goes and forms a super team? He's still outnumbered for 3 Hall of Famers to 4.
Look, here's the deal.
The Joe Johnson Brooklyn Nets were better than LeBron James, weren't they?
Darren Williams.
Are you going to make that argument?
Well, Darren Williams was an interesting man.
I would take Giannis over LeBron any day of the week.
Oh, right. My God.
Right now?
Do you mean right now or all time?
Right now.
Yeah, right now.
Yeah, on, like, on Tuesday, November 28th, 2023, yeah.
But I would do all time, too.
All right, okay.
And I think Giannis I think Giannis is going to be much better than LeBron by the time he retires.
I mean, the Bucks already looking shaky. This is like year 3 of playoff contention.
Giannis, though, is something... Anyway, back to Green Bay. Following the... Well,
I have a proposition for the Packers.
Giannis, love me some Giannis.
So their defensive coordinator, what's that
Joe
guy's
Barry.
Name? Joe Barry. Yeah, that guy stinks. get rid of Joe Barry. Hire Leonard, the Wisconsin defensive coordinator. He missed out on the Wisconsin head coaching job. I believe that's why he turned down the Green Bay Packers defensive coordinator job last time out. But now, you know, that job went to Luke Fickell. Congratulations to him. You know... Get rid of Joe Barry, get Jim Leonard.
Not just that. I would fire the entire front office of the Green Bay Packers.
Are you technically part of the front office, though, since you are an owner?
Yeah, true.
Are you firing yourself?
That's true.
You're getting very introspective.
What is your plan for this offseason?
I would love to make a plan, but good old Brian Gutekunst does not return my call, sadly. That's the problem. Now,
the old cheesehead.
Are you not a Goody Goon?
No, I'm not. I think Goody Goon, or what's his name, should be put in a home and should be turned away from society forever.
Isn't that guy in his like 40s?
He's a clown. Ted Thompson did it. Ted Thompson did a better job, and hey. Ted Thompson would do a better job right now.
Ted Thompson, you know,
but he's not
helped
he's,
grow
he's,
John
he's
Schneider.
Not around anymore.
So congratulations to Ted Thompson and rest in peace.
Well, and Ted Thompson right now would do a better job than Brian Gutekunst. He
really?
Would.
Really?
Yeah, he would. Even though he's no longer with us, I still think he would do a better job.
I mean,
anyway,
he has drafted well though.
Gutekunst?
Yeah. I mean, you got
what's wrong with you?
You got the stud Jordan Love.
What's wrong with you?
Who's throwing crazy no look crosses? Then you got Christian Watson, AJ Dillon. John Runyon.
Okay, they also hired they also drafted a depth defensive tackle last year.
When you have Kenny Clark and Dean Lowry already.
Hold on, he's a starter. He's a starter.
Hold on a minute here. You're gonna tell me that the first offensive player that's been taken since Aaron Rodgers was Jordan Love, and you're gonna tell me that GM's done a great job? You're also gonna tell me that with two first round picks last year, you take two defensive linemen. You don't take a receiver.
Hold on.
Okay, number one. You take two defensive pieces that you don't need. You don't need them. Number two, you don't take a receiver or you don't trade one of those picks for a guy like Deebo Samuel. And if Gutekunst had the guts to pull the trigger on a move, he would have brought Samuel over to Green Bay. He could have done it.
Before he signed the extension, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? He's a scaredy cat. He's a joke. God bless you. He's a clown. You're not a clown, but this guy is. Anyway.
He drafted Amari Rodgers, who they cut a few weeks ago.
Please don't say that name to me.
I was just messing with you, Karma. Please, I think he's an awful GM.
Please don't say that name to me.
Amari Rodgers versus Richie James. A Rodgers returning punts. That would be great.
Richie James single-handedly won Seattle a game. Thank you to that man.
Well, The new guy's last name is Nixon or something like that. I'd rather have Richard Nixon than Amari Rodgers receive punts. Are you kidding me? I don't know what the guy's first name is, Nixon, but... I'd rather have Richard Nixon than frickin' Amari Rodgers. Anyway, the point is this. Jordan Love did not look bad. He looked pretty good, actually. And I've seen Jordan Love play for Green Bay, and it's not been pretty. Even against the Detroit Lions, he was awful. This season, it's awful. It's horrible. Rodgers was awful, too, versus Detroit this season. But Jordan Love showed me some promise. And you know what? I'll say this. I'm still mad about the pick. I'm still upset with this Packers front office, and at this point, Aaron Rodgers just does not care anymore. He signed that massive contract, they get the check, so I'm Aaron Rodgers, I've been stuck with this mess for over a decade now, no one's helping me, I'm gonna be me, I'm gonna make my name whatever I can, and I'm just gonna say, you know what, I've done my part, I have my four MVPs, I've dealt with garbage the past 10 plus years, and at the end of the day, I'm gonna realize, whether I walk out of this with a championship or not, I'm taking the high ground, and I'm taking the high ground in the sense that I got paid $50 million a season to deal with this debacle of an offense and an incompetent coach who cannot make play calls whatsoever. He's going to walk out with that no matter what. My thing is, though, if Jordan Love can somehow build a relationship with a guy like Christian Watson, like he did on that 63-yard touchdown bomb he threw. And by the way, let's keep in mind, that game was a loss, but it was a 7-point loss. 40-33 was the final. Green Bay made it a game. Surprisingly.
They did.
But they made it a game. And my thing is this. If Jordan Love, if I can see more glimpses of hope like that with Christian Watson, with Alan Lazard, maybe Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, Robert Tonyan, whoever else you want to name, right? If I can see that happen this year, next year, years going forward, maybe if he gets more playing time. Who knows how much playing time he'll get in the next 3-4 years, whatever it is. I will not be that upset. But I will say this, and I love Aaron Rodgers. I do. He's my favorite player ever. I love Aaron. I grew up loving Aaron Rodgers. I always will love Aaron Rodgers. But I think he's put himself in such a horrible situation for himself, too, where he's painted himself as a jerk because he's not trusting his receivers. He's always rolling his eyes. He's always, you know, making the scene or whatever. He's always complaining about what he's dealing with. He's always yelling at Matt LaFleur. I think both sides are guilty at this point. I think Rodgers has dug himself in this hole too much, where he had the chance to leave last season, but for whatever reason, for the attention, the glamour, the, you know, the paparazzi, whatever, he stayed in. You also could have fired Matt LaFleur 2 seasons ago. You also could have drafted better over the last 10 years. You also could have made more intriguing signings and gotten more players to help out Aaron Rodgers. Within that 10, 11, 12-year span, the Green Bay was either one piece offensively or defensively away from not only going to a Super Bowl, but winning a championship on either side of the ball. And they never gave Aaron the piece on either side of the ball.
I think there's a realistic chance at this point with Aaron's injury, if he misses a week or two, that we may have actually seen the last of him in a Packer uniform, because with them now being 4-8, they're not making the playoffs.
No, of course not.
So maybe you just see what you got with Jordan Love.
I mean, I don't disagree with that.
He said on the Pat McAfee show, I got some good news on my scans. I should be good to go for Sunday.
Well, we'll see.
I hope.
I mean, if you're the Packers, what are you going to do? The dead cap, if you just outright release him, you know, in camp. Obviously, I don't think that would happen.
Yeah, no.
But even if they
who's
taking that story? Guys, who's taking that contract?
The team that gets him probably wouldn't have to pay the signing bonus. And we see the quarterback market.
Okay.
Well, look at what just happened to the Broncos.
I just want to say quickly, I think Russell Wilson going to the Broncos has completely ruined the market of trading quarterbacks.
Okay. Proposition.
It's like a Kirk signing first in the offseason.
Aaron Rodgers for Russell Wilson straight up. Who says no?
Packers.
You said Aaron Rodgers for
Russell
Wilson.
Packers say no.
Packers country. Let's
Packers ride. Don't even pick up the phone.
Yeah. Cheesehead country. Let's ride.
I'm pretty sure the dead money that the Broncos would have to deal with if they just cut Russell Wilson this year is like upwards of $80 million. It's ridiculous.
What about this? Dak for Aaron, straight up. Who says no?
Why would the Packers want that contract for such a mid quarterback?
Here's the deal.
He's getting paid less than Aaron.
Here's the deal.
Still a lot of money for a mid quarterback.
Jackson, that's realistic. But
it is realistic.
Does Aaron Rodgers want to reunite with Mike McCarthy? I don't think so.
God, no.
I don't think so. That's not going to happen.
He's still confusing me because I still do think a few of those years in Green Bay were totally, totally all Aaron.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
So I don't understand how he's managed to have the success he has this year.
It's Dan Quinn.
Well, that's the thing. There's been games where it hasn't, where it's like, well, who else is there to blame? Dak threw two picks this game. It's got to be this guy's fault.
Here's the deal.
Because the NFC East is the four best teams in the NFL right now.
Amen to that, man.
Here's the deal. You've got Dan Quinn. You also have Kellen Moore, who's a heck of an OC.
No, don't say that. No, he's not.
So bad.
Everybody thinks so bad.
You don't think so?
He's tricked every TikTok NFL fan. Oh my God, he's
really.
He's
well,
awful.
The thing with him is he's not bad. But if you were to go up to Kellen Moore tomorrow and you say, you know, our offense feels stale, it feels bland. We need something going on. We need some creativity.
Okay.
He's going, all right, gotcha. 2nd and 20, we just got a penalty on first down, because we always
draw
do.
Draw a play.
No, not a draw play. Let's call a jet sweep where the receiver has to go 5 yards further behind the line of scrimmage to go 25 yards instead of 20 yards.
Okay.
Then you get tackled behind the sticks. Now you got to ask Dak to make a 25-yard pass just to convert third down
and keep
the chains
it's
moving.
A pick six.
And this is just... And the receivers are – I don't know what's going on with the callouts. I don't know if it's Dak with making his audibles. I don't know if it's the – offensive terminology, but these receivers and the quarterback are too often not on the same page. There's times where guys are running across the whole formation, never finding a crease. That's a scheme problem.
Okay.
If you've got guys running routes for 8-9 seconds, one, the play's already broken down a little bit, but the fact that you've got guys running 5-plus second routes, your quarterback's got time and they're not getting open. I must be playing 7 Darrell Revis's back there. But
here,
he just makes
the
simple look hard.
And I don't follow Dallas that closely, so I can't really tell you that.
I don't blame you.
But from what I've seen the past few weeks, when they're putting up 40 versus Minnesota and 28 versus the Giants.
That Minnesota game was honestly probably the best game Dallas has played in the last 5 years.
Well, again, they put up 40 points, and Tony Pollard has exploded the past few weeks. He's been remarkable.
He's been remarkable. He is a Pro Bowl running back. Rotting away on that bench right now.
You would think some credit would go to Kellen Moore, but I guess not.
I mean,
he's not good.
He's done a great job with the run game, because the run game definitely fell apart down the stretch last year, and it has sustained itself far better this year.
Right.
They continue, because last year there came a point in the season, Zeke got hurt.
Yeah.
He kept playing. He wasn't looking the same.
Sure.
They just totally gave up on the outside run. Didn't even call him anymore. Defenses weren't even concerned with setting the edge, because they knew every run was just – handed off, they're going right between the A-gaps.
Right.
But, I mean, this season they keep running the ball even when Dak is having a great day. And that's when I tend to go, that's something you could build off of, but that's like a past 3 games development.
Although right now, I would take Dak Prescott over Aaron Rodgers right now in Green Bay. I would.
Well, if you want the best way to describe the duality of Kellen Moore, week one against the Buccaneers, he had Dak throw the ball like 45 times. The run game was averaging 5 yards a carry that game. Did you know it? I didn't know it. They ran the ball about 12 times.
Wow.
They got, I think the most they were down before halftime was with 7 points.
Yeah, it was a
it was a scrappy, ugly little game.
Yeah, it was a 19-3 final.
They just totally abandoned the run. Okay. Totally abandoned the run, okay. And he does that far too often because he loves getting the big play. And when the big plays work, the big plays work.
My concern, and look, and it just, and again, going back to Green Bay, when I say this, is just, and again, I don't follow Dallas that closely, so I can't tell you any of that, but just the play calling for this Packers offense is ridiculous. They run it on first down. They'll do a short pass on second down. And on third down, it's either a run or a freaking screen play. This Rutgers football – Rutgers. This No, it does. This Green Bay team reminds me a lot of Rutgers football. It does, because of the incompetence of the offense. Not just because, okay, Aaron's having a scene and what have you, but when you look at the overall, you know, buildup of this offense, it's not bad, but there are so many grease holes where, A, the grease holes take over, and the amount of penalties this team takes, especially on the offensive line, is beyond ridiculous.
I just have to ask, how does it feel as a Packer fan to be behind the Detroit Lions currently in the standings?
Eddie, you're getting on my nerves.
I just want to offer a quick update. This has nothing to do with the NFL, but my lock of the week was the Dallas Mavericks at +1.5 tonight. They're currently up on the Golden State Warriors 23-6 with 4 minutes ago in the first quarter.
23-6?
I bet Luka has 20.
Let me check that, actually.
He's got to have at least 16. Is that game in Golden State?
No, it's in Dallas. That's why I took the Mavericks, because the Warriors stink on the road.
Got it.
Let's see. Luka has 3 points.
But, oh, my God. I need to banish myself. God.
Spencer Dinwiddie has 5 and Tim Hardaway has 7. So, anyways, that was just a quick update.
Well, you know what? That's a team effort. Yeah. And to backtrack a little bit to Rutgers basketball quickly.
Well, nice segue.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you. That is what we've seen from that type of team—a team-oriented effort. And we've talked earlier about the next 5 games. If they can play like that and win 3 of them. And same thing with January. If they can have that team-oriented focus, maybe it's Cam Spencer one night, Hyatt this night, Cliff that night, Mawat Mag this night, Paul if he's healthy this game, Caleb that. You know, we've seen that in their wins all season long already. And whether they're blowing out Rider or Central Connecticut State or Sacred Heart or Columbia or whoever you want to name, the point is that team-oriented basketball helps that team. And that right there, even though the big star Luka has 3 points or whatever it is so far, some of these other players that, of course, don't get enough attention as Luka are starting to pull things on their weight, and they're leading this team. Guaranteed it's a very early game against a Golden State team that's won 4 championships in the last 10 years or whatever it is, and they still have Steph and Draymond and Klay. But my point is that team-oriented basketball wins you games, and team-oriented basketball is being shown in that game right now, and Rutgers basketball has been team-oriented, men's basketball has been team-oriented all season long, and that can prevail them to win big games and win altogether throughout this season. Yeah. But my thing is with Green Bay still, as we segue back to football.
But this is all over the place.
Beautiful.
You know what? Tic-tac-toe. How about that? The point is this. The point is with Green Bay, Matt LaFleur should have been fired. He should have been. I mean, the guy is a goon. No, he's a goon.
I mean, it's hard to fire the guy off the good seasons. I'm not saying he shouldn't have been.
Well, okay, look, I don't care if you win 50 regular season games. If I don't get to one Super Bowl in those 3 seasons, you're fired. You're fired.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it's always in that. I mean, he got to what, 2 NFC championships in that 3-year span?
And got blown out in one and blew the second one thanks to his play calling. Who kicks a field goal with 2 minutes to go when you're down by 8 points?
I mean, to be fair, part of that was also because their special teams is just absolutely horrible.
Yeah. Well, whose back does that fall on?
The special teams?
Who's the
part of that
coach?
It's also on the players, because they don't have a good punter. I don't think Mason Crosby is that good of a kicker.
Mason Crosby's been around since the dawn of time.
Mason Crossbar, as your favorite skip
man. See, the problem is that Matt LaFleur, up until this year, pretty much refused to hire a special teams coordinator until it got so bad last year that he just up and hired Rich Bisaccia, who did a great job in Vegas last year.
Look, again.
That guy's awesome.
And again, yes. Alec.
Should be the coach of the Raiders still.
Alec, I agree with you. It's just, there is just so much incompetence, and LaFleur, when he takes over the majority of the scene, blows it up. That's the problem. And again, I would have fired him following that second NFC Championship loss because, his play calling not just cost him towards the end, but Kevin King on that last play before halftime, oh my goodness. I've never seen worse coverage before in my entire life. And they re-signed the guy.
That was a boneheaded.
And they kept the
contract.
Guy. You want to know who you thank? Brian Gutekunst. So Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur working 1-2 to screw over Aaron Rodgers.
Like the Cardinals.
Are you his boss? Are you going to be the one to fire him?
I would love to. But again, they don't pick up my calls when I call them.
I mean, you and Christian are technically both owners, so if you pool your power together.
You know what? I think Christian Vasquez and I need to take a trip out to Green Bay, Wisconsin, and have a chat.
I know Goonkus is listening to this like, oh, no, Alex, please give me one more chance.
If there was an RSU basketball trip this winter to Wisconsin, you and Christian got to get on it and before the
That's
game.
That's a great idea.
There
trip
is in
over
February.
The Packers office.
Oh, yeah,
there,
yeah.
There is
oh,
a February.
You two need
right,
to be on
right
that
right
one.
In Super Bowl time.
Since we have only 3 minutes left, I do need to conclude with something important that I did mention to you, Alec, that we have to discuss. Champagne Mooney is no more on Daddy Daddy Notice Me.
You dropped him?
Well, I have to
he's
because he's out
for the year.
He's done for the year.
What happened?
Injured.
He injured his ankle. So
I guess the
Bears
Jets?
Are tanking. Bears are
yes.
tanking for Bryce
so,
Young.
The Darnell Mooney era is officially over after 12 riveting weeks with Daddy Daddy Notice
what
Me.
What an era it was.
He All averaged right. a solid 8.5 points a game after he was supposed to be my number two wide receiver, and I took him in like the fifth or sixth round or something.
Clown.
Every time I had him in my lineup, he scored less than 10 points. The three times I benched him, he had more than 10 points. So I was completely wrong every single time I started or benched him. And, of course, I benched him this week. It didn't matter. He got zeros. He left, and I ended up losing to Lieutenant Palumbo, so
you lost to David Palumbo?
Yes, I did, which was unfortunate. And I lost by 24 points. It was not particularly close.
To David Palumbo.
Yes, so now I'm 7-5, and I play two of the best teams in the league the last 2 weeks. So
like
Arnav, I need you to lose
start.
One of these next two games.
All right, okay.
So I can make
okay.
the playoffs.
It's one thing to lose because of Champagne Moody and what have you. It's another to lose to David Palumbo by 24 points.
You're not even in the league.
I don't care.
Are you just saying David Palumbo because he's David Palumbo? It's bad to lose to him by 24?
Number one, yes. Number two. Number two, you should be beating Lieutenant Palumbo, okay?
I should have. His quarterback is Marcus Mariota.
Exactly.
Oh, that's tough.
But
and Dave's
it didn't
a great
work
out. Guy. But Ed the Shed knows more about football
Ed the Shed
than
knows
Dave
ball.
Palumbo.
I do know ball.
Ed the Shed has. Should be a better team than Dave Palumbo.
And
Dave's a great guy.
We are, but this week was a rough week. You know, teams have rough weeks. Just think about what the Packers just happened to them the other night.
I've had too many rough weeks. Be quiet.
You know,
how about the
I've
dawn
seen five straight losses.
20 points per game Christian Watson. Huh?
What?
The dawn of 20 points per game Christian Watson. This guy's got 20 points the last 3 weeks.
Doesn't he already, like, tied for the lead of rookie receivers in touchdowns?
He must, yeah,
like,
I think
last,
so.
Like,
and Aaron Rodgers
yeah.
treats him like crap.
Aaron Rodgers finds one guy he likes, and he's like, yes, now all my targets can go to one guy again.
Look, they should have never gotten rid of D.A. That
never.
Was the mistake.
Dylan Allen?
Not Dylan
when
Allen.
They got rid of
hey, wait a minute. Dylan Allen's in Miami right
when
now.
When they got rid of Dylan Allen and they shipped him off to the Dolphins, it was just the end of the franchise.
Dylan Allen with Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. That would be such a dynamic offense.
Yeah.
Play him a tight end over Gesicki Gritty. I mean, that would make the Dolphins a real Super Bowl
and
contender.
Quarterback Carm. How about that?
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah.
You should be the quarterback of the Packers.
So with that,
at this point, I should be.
Looks like we're just running out of time.
Oh, what a shame.
For the Tuesday crew, I am Alec Krauthammel here with Jackson DeLulo, Joe Henry, Arnav Sarkar, Alex Carminati, and Eddie Kalegi. You have been listening to the Tuesday Crew on 88.7 WRSU, FM New Brunswick, or online at WRSU.org. Make sure to stay tuned for further programming.
When might you be buzzed? When you suddenly love everything.
You guys, I love this song.
I love these nachos.
I love our kickball league. Ugh! I love this guy.
What's your name?
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzzed warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I love your car. Is this real leather?
Buckle your seatbelts and put the pedal to the metal because auto racing coverage is now here on WRSU. Motorsports Today, breaking down the latest news in the world of NASCAR, F1, IndyCar, and more. Join me, Eddie Kalegi, as we break down the previous weekend in racing and preview what's ahead with exclusive guest interviews and even spotlights of racing-related ventures in the Rutgers community. Motorsports Today, Tuesdays from 5 to 6 on 88.7 FM and at WRSU.org.
Biggity, biggity, biggity. Let's go racing, boys! at 88.7 FM and online at WRSU.org, this is WRSU-FM New Brunswick, Rutgers University.